The title of the message tonight, Standing Together for Battle. Here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and verse number 1, I will read to you just a few verses here. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness in Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one ahead of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. That shall stand with you. Down in verse number 17 it says, And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, by their polls. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. Then down in verse 45 it says, So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550 men. 600, 3,050 men over the age of 20 were gathered together for battle. Over the age of 20, I've heard some men before say, I snuck in at 15, whatever, because they wanted to go to war. But these were those that were age 20 and over. If we were to read through the entire chapter, and we won't do that, you would read one particular expression over and over and over and over again. It speaks of all those from the 12 tribes of Israel. And God told Moses, I want you to number all those age 20 and over that are able, all that were able to go forth to war. All that were able to go forth to war. God wanted them to have armies prepared for war. An army prepared to protect the families and defend their nation against those enemies that would try to defeat them. All the men age 20 and over from the 12 tribes were called upon to go forth to war and to stand with Moses, verse 5 said. Again, notice what it had said there in verse number 3. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war. Then in verse 5 it says, And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. One leader from each tribe, as well as a mighty army of men out of all the tribes, were called to battle. They were called to stand up with Moses. They were called to be prepared and be ready for if an enemy was to attack. They were to be prepared for war against enemy forces that might try to defeat them. I thank God tonight for our veterans. I thank God for our Canadian military that have been willing to answer the call and willing to go and willing to serve even in times of war. They went because their country needed them to go. And I'm thankful for those willing to serve. Those men and women who have done so often do so for a lot of reasons. Sometimes they may do it because they want an adventure. But oftentimes, at the heart of it, people do so because some just simply believe it's their duty to do so. They believe it's their duty. Some do it because they believe it's an honor. And I say, I do believe it's an honor. I believe it's an honor. Some do it for their country. They do so for their country. They do so to protect freedom or to fight for freedom. Some may ridicule the armed forces. Some do not seem to appreciate those who have served. But we do appreciate them. We appreciate them. Winston Churchill served as a British soldier during the last few years of the 19th century, and again briefly during the early part of the 20th century. I read a story that told of a young Winston Churchill in the midst of a heated battle. Before he ever was a prime minister and a leader and dynamic things that he was, there was some wars that he served in Africa and in India and so on. And one time during a heated battle, several died and many were running away and hiding and not following commands. And one soldier ran past Winston Churchill. And the soldier asked him if he was going to leave and run away like the others were doing. And the great leader replied, I will not do the cowardly. I will stand at my post of duty. The great soldier knew the beauty of standing faithful to his post. Later, he would speak those famous words as the Prime Minister during World War II, "We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender." He refused to quit. He believed that they should all do their duty. Do their duty. I read the account of Sergeant Alvin York. He was a great soldier from Tennessee, a great soldier during World War I. When the heat of the battle was strong and ammunition was low, Soldier York captured many enemies that day. I read an account that said that he had only a couple bullets left in his weapon. He fired a shot and wounded the enemy that was running in the back of the line. And he yelled a warning and had his weapon drawn and so on. And the account says that all the other soldiers stopped behind that wounded man, and Sergeant York was able to capture their many enemies that day. He became a war hero. Why? Because he never retreated. He stayed at his post of duty. He stayed at his post of duty. There was a great soldier in World War II, a man by the name of Douglas MacArthur, a general that made a promise to the people of the Philippines, "I shall return." General Douglas MacArthur was a great soldier. His unit was facing defeat, and MacArthur had to gather his soldiers, and they left the Philippine Islands. But as MacArthur and the U.S. troops left, Douglas MacArthur made a vow and made a promise, "I shall return." After some other time of training and some R&R, the troops loaded up. They returned to the Philippines. It was different this time. With sweeping vengeance, the U.S. troops won victory after victory. Finally, the troops took what had been a U.S. prisoner of war camp and so on there. Douglas MacArthur helped to liberate the Philippines. He rescued soldiers that were held in prison camps. Yes, there was many that starved and many that died there in that POW camp. But MacArthur had personally commanded now the rescue to still rescue those that were alive. MacArthur states in his autobiography that the troops were, many of the troops were like walking skeletons by that point. And as MacArthur's jeep topped the hill and rushed into the POW camp, MacArthur saw the most touching event of his life. The captured soldiers were helping each other to be able to stand in their weakness. And when the general came into their presence, the crippled, wounded, starved men were standing and leaning on each other and standing at attention best they could to salute and to greet General MacArthur. This is what being a good soldier is about. Never quitting. Never quitting. Winston Churchill and Alvin York and Douglas MacArthur were men who believed that in time of war, you should do your duty. You should do your duty. I thank God for those that have felt like it's my duty or it's an honor or for the sake of my country, I will serve. And I want you to know we appreciate you. We appreciate you. We're thankful that you would be willing to serve our country. The freedoms that I enjoy, that I as a pastor can stand up and I have the freedom to carry a Bible and believe the Bible and teach the Bible. I wouldn't have that freedom. Communist countries have not had that freedom. And I'm thankful for it. Over the years, we've sometimes heard some funny stories from the veterans, maybe about the time that they signed up to join the war efforts. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever enlisted? Have you ever joined God's army? Some of the older veterans who served in World War II can remember very specifically when they enlisted. World War II was a war that was just literally affecting the world and so many countries. And the call was there. And we sometimes even saw some pictures, the type of advertisements that would have been in newspapers back in those days. And the call for people, will you come? Will you help? Will you enlist? And to some of these veterans, it's been very memorable in their life when they enlisted. Have you ever enlisted in God's army? Do you remember the day when you joined up for the Lord's army? I remember that day in my life. I remember the night when I knelt down by my bed and I signed up for God's army. I remember that night, June 24, 1981, asking Jesus Christ into my life and into my heart to be my Savior and asking Him to forgive my sins and save me from hell and take me to heaven. That's the night I enlisted in God's army. Listen, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, may I say that God in heaven loves you very, very much. And there's a God in heaven that created you and loves you, and He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to make you His child. He wants to give you a new life and a new purpose for living. He wants to give you an abundant life, and He wants to give you a fullness of joy that nothing else in this world can ever give you. You know, there's a peace in your heart that the Lord can give that you won't find anywhere else. Nothing else can give it to you, but the Lord can. God can. Let me encourage you to enlist in God's army. If you've never done so, it's a great honor too. And I'd encourage you to enlist in God's army. Get on God's side. Trust His Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. To those of you who have already been saved, let me encourage you to go forth to war. God is calling His people, all those who are able, to go forth to war. A few things tonight, briefly, let me say this. Number one, it is our duty to serve in the Lord's army. It's our duty to serve in the Lord's army. Can I ask you something, soldier, Christian soldier? Are you on active duty? Are you on active duty? Christians are to be active, living for Christ, lifting the standard high, raising the banner high, lifting high the banner of the cross. Are you on active duty, winning the lost, sharing the gospel, loving your neighbor, feeding the hungry, helping the poor, sharing God's love to others? Are you on active duty? Are you doing what a soldier of Jesus Christ ought to be doing? Are you doing your duty? Hey, it's an honor. It's a duty, rather, to be in the Lord's army. Secondly, it's an honor. It's an honor to serve in the Lord's army. You know, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, our commanding officer, who sacrificed His own life on the cross of Calvary to win our freedom. He paid that ultimate price. The ultimate price that a soldier could pay is to give their life. Well, Jesus paid that price. He gave His life to win our freedom. Let's serve Him. Let's stand as soldiers in the battle. Let's stand courageously. Stand courageously. Remember our Savior, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed all, who gave His life on the cross for us, but who also rose again from the grave 3 days later and was victorious over sin and death. He was victorious. He was not defeated. During World War I, there was a British commander that was preparing to lead his soldiers back to battle. They'd been on a furlough, and it was a cold, rainy, muddy day. Their shoulders sagged because they knew what lay ahead of them. Mud and blood and possible death. And nobody talked that day, and nobody sang. It was a heavy time. The mood was very heavy. And as they were marching along, the commander, walking in front of them, looked into a bombed-out church building, like was described. And back in that church, on the front wall of the building, you know, he saw a cross on the front wall of that church. And at that moment, something happened to the commander. He remembered the one who suffered and died and rose again, and how there was victory and how there was triumph. And as the troops marched along, he shouted, "Eyes right, march!" Every eye then of the soldiers marching turned to the right, and they looked and saw what he saw. And they looked into that church building that was bombed out, and they saw the cross. Suddenly they saw triumph after suffering, and they took courage. With their shoulders straightened back, they began to smile as they went along. You see, anything worthwhile in life will be a risk that demands courage. Listen, we need to stand courageously. As a Christian soldier, stand courageously in the world today and live for Him. Our Lord gave everything for us. Shouldn't we give our lives to serve Him? Shouldn't we stand up as good soldiers and do the things that He has commanded us to do? I said, number one, it's our duty to serve in the Lord's army. Number two, it's an honor, a great honor to serve in the Lord's army. I ask, why should we serve? Why should we answer the call in wartime? Number three, because it is for our country. It is for our country. You say, well, what country are you speaking of? Well, the answer is heaven. There's an old song that says, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." I love our country. I love our nation. I'm Canadian born, Canadian bred. When I die, I'll be Canadian dead. Amen. We can complain about every country in the world if we want to, but I'm glad I was born here. I'm glad for our freedoms. I'm going to die here, be buried here, and so on. But truthfully, heaven will be my home for all eternity. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are all a part of God's family. And heaven is the promised future home for everyone who is willing to believe. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Have you ever wondered what happens to a person's soul and spirit when they die? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, sure, their body goes and the body's buried in a grave. And my grandparents are buried in a grave. My father is buried in a grave. My older brother is buried in a grave. And I visited there just a week ago at that cemetery. Their body may stay in a grave, but the soul of every born-again believer immediately goes to paradise. Why should we stand together for battle? Why should every Christian believer go forth to war? Why should we as Christians be on active duty serving our Lord? Well, because it's our duty. And because it's an honor. But also because we should do it for our country. For our country. Hey, let's stand together in battle. Let's stand together in battle. Hey, as a Christian soldier, I want you to think about something, remember something tonight. We're all part of the same family. We're all part of the same unit. We're on the same side. We're not to be shooting at one another. You shoot at the enemy. You don't shoot at those that are on your side of the lines. Always remember who the real enemy is. Listen, it's not these that sit in this room tonight that are your enemy. As a Christian, I mean. It's not your husband or wife that is your enemy. It's not family. It's not other Christians that are the enemy. I read the funny story about a Kentucky mountaineer who was fighting overseas in World War I. And he kept getting some nagging letters. I mean, just nag, 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 nag. Some letters from his wife back home. And he was too busy fighting to even write letters back to his wife. At last, angered by his wife's scolding letters, he sat down and wrote to her, "Dear Nancy, I've been a-getting your nagging letters all along. Now, I want to tell you, I'm tired of them. For the first time in my life, I'm fighting in a big war. And I want to enjoy it in peace as long as it lasts." Amen. Hey, we need to remember who the real enemy is. Our family's not the enemy. Other Christians are not your enemy. Satan is our enemy. As Christian soldiers, let's not fight against one another. Let's love one another. Let's stand with one another. Satan wants to destroy marriages and homes and relations, as we see that so much in this generation. But never treat those who are on the same side like as if they are the enemy. Let's stand together united in the battles that we face for the Lord. Not only should we stand strong together in the battle and be united, but we also should pray for one another. We should pray for one another. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible encourages us to stand. To stand fast. To stand firm and so on. And then down in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, it says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As he's talking about the battle and talks about how we need to stand and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and to withstand and so on, down at the end of all the description and how we need to be prepared for the battle and when there's some armor we need to wear, he says, you need to pray for one another. This battle is a tough battle. And there's a raging enemy out there that wants to destroy. And he says, we need to be in prayer for one another. There needs to be prayer and supplication for all the fellow saints, for all the other believers. Hey, let's pray for one another. We're not to shoot each other in the back. We're not to fight against one another. No, love one another. Pray for one another. Let's stand together as Christian soldiers and serve Him. And serve Him. During a war, you never know what battles a person might be facing. And we need to be praying for one another. Be praying for one another. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. And his platoon was under fire and they were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hill. Their sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and to raise it up on a pole to let other units know that they had taken this ground and beaten the enemy. As one Marine grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it up, he was shot by a sniper. Another man then was sent to retrieve the flag and to raise it up, and he too was shot by a sniper. Finally, a young private spoke up and said, "Sergeant, in just a few minutes, it'll be 4:00. If you'll let me wait until 4:00, I'll take that flag and I'll raise it up on the pole." The sergeant thought for a moment and said, "All right, son." At 4:00, that private jumped out of his foxhole and he ran over and he picked up that flag and then he ran to that pole as fast as he could and he raised it up and then he turned and he ran back to his foxhole and jumped in without so much as a scratch. The men cheered and the sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4:00 to do what he did. The private replied, "Well, you see, sir, it's 4:00 here, but It's 6 a.m. back home in Kansas. And my mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6 o'clock, she would be on her knees praying for my safety. You see, Sergeant, I knew that I would be safe at 4 o'clock. I knew that she would be touching heaven for me. You know what? In our battles, we need to be praying for one another. We never know the difficulties that, you know what, other Christians might be having. There's a lot of Christians, even in our own church, that they've got some burdens in their life and they got some difficulties, and we need to be praying for one another. Not only should we stand strong together in battle, but also pray for one another in the battle. And by God's grace, with His help, we can stand. And we must stand together for battle. Our Lord gave everything for us. Shouldn't we give our lives to serve Him? Shouldn't we stand up as good soldiers and do the things that He has commanded us to do? I said this very simply, number one, it's our duty to serve. It's our duty to serve Him. Number two, it's an honor. It is a great honor to serve in the Lord's army. Don't ever think, I'm not so sure about if I really want to be a Christian. No, it's a great honor to be a Christian. And it's a great honor to serve the Lord. It's our duty. It's our honor. The actions of a few Christians can be a clarion call to courage for others. A call for others to stand. One person standing courageously in the midst of a battle can help encourage others to stand also. Again, most people would be familiar with the name Winston Churchill. He was a man who refused to give in to surrender. His first statement as Prime Minister to the House of Commons on May 13, 1940 was this. He said, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. 3 weeks later, after the capture of Dunkirk, Churchill rallied his nation with these words. We shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender. On June 18th, 1940, Winston Churchill said this. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be free and the life of the world may move forward into broad sunlit uplands. But if we fail, the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will say, this was their finest hour. 5 months later, reporting on the war situation to the House of Commons, Churchill said this, death and sorrow will be the companions of our journey. Hardship, our garment. Constancy and valor, our only shield. We must be united. We must be undaunted. We must be inflexible. In a unique speech to the London County Council, July 14, 1941, he referred to a camaraderie or comradeship of suffering or endurance. And told Hitler and his Nazi forces, we will have no truce or parley with you or the grisly gang who work your wicked will. You do your worst, and we will do our best. Later he said, we shall never turn from our purpose, however somber the road, however grievous the cost. He stirred the boys of Harrow School that same year on October 29th when he said, do not let us speak of darker days. Let us speak rather of sterner days. These are not dark days. These are great days. The greatest days our country has ever lived. And we must thank God that we have been allowed, each of us according to our stations, to play a part in making these days memorable in the history of our race. You know what? Even from those speeches that he gave, he was constantly reminding the soldiers of some things. Duty. Honor. country. He was always reminding them of those things. Listen, one man can make a difference. Listen, let's stand together for a battle. Let's stand together courageously. Let's stand united. It's our duty and it's our honor to serve the Savior. In conclusion, let me simply say this tonight. Are you here tonight and you've never enlisted? Are you here tonight and you've never enlisted? Maybe you've never joined the Lord's army. Maybe you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Would you be willing to maybe let me show you from the Bible how you could know for sure that you're saved and forgiven of all your sins? You can become a child of God. Even tonight, you could become a child of God and know for sure that heaven will be your home for all eternity. You can join the winning side tonight. I'd like to be on the winning side. You can join the winning side. You must first be willing to admit that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. These veterans can try to say nice things about me, but I know it's not true. I can say nice things about them, and I mean it sincerely, but I know they're not perfect. They are sinners. We're all sinners. We've all done wrong. There's lots of things that are wrong and that break the laws of God, break the commands of God, the things we do to hurt fellow man, and those things are all sinful. We must admit that we're a sinner and recognize that we need the Savior. No one has the power to forgive our sins but God. No one can cleanse us from our sins except for Him. God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty for all of our sins. And we need to acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for the Savior. Through repentance and simple childlike faith, you can claim God's promise of heaven. We can receive the gift, a free gift of eternal life. You know what God wants us to be saved? Some people paint a picture of God that He's just some mean old tyrant up there that doesn't like anybody, wants to condemn the whole world for their sin. He doesn't. He is a God of justice and judgment and holiness, and He will judge and punish sin. But at the very heart, God is a loving God who is gracious and merciful and long-suffering and patient. And He wants to forgive us of all of our sins. He wants to take away our sins. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to be His children. He wants to restore us to a relationship with Him. And you can have that. But you must truly trust in Jesus Christ alone with all your heart and call upon Him to be your Savior. Are you here tonight and you've never enlisted? You need to enlist. You need to join the Lord's army. You need to get on the winning side. Make sure you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christian soldiers here tonight, are we doing our best? Are we doing our best? Will we be turned or swayed from our purpose? Are we willing to pay any cost? You know, some of those same things that Winston Churchill tried to rally the troops with, I'm afraid that in our Christian army, in the Lord's army, many times there's Christians that would not be willing to do the same. Maybe we're not doing our best. Maybe we are too often swayed from our purpose. Maybe we're not willing to pay any cost. But we ought to be. We ought to be. Are we united? Will we stand together? Will we labor together in the trenches for our Savior? Will we fight the good fight of faith? Christians here tonight, I challenge you, let's stand together for battle. Let's stand together for battle. As the Lord's army, let's do the work that He is calling us to do. Our headquarters are in heaven, and our commanding officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called to active duty. The young people, to the oldest person here, we're called to active duty as a Christian. Are you active in your service for Him? Let's be busy serving the Lord. Let us stand as faithful soldiers and as faithful Christians. Let's love the poor and let's help the widows and the orphans. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. Let's love our neighbors and love the brethren. And let's live each day doing the things that He has commanded us to do. Let's be on active duty. Let's be faithful soldiers. Let's be good soldiers. Let's stand together for battle. All those that were able to go forth to war. Listen, if you've been saved, if you're a Christian, you're called to be a Christian soldier, to serve the Lord, to be on active duty. Will you be busy for Him? Will you serve Him? Will you stand together shoulder to shoulder with other Christians in this room and say, we'll serve the Lord? And our church will serve the Lord in our community and in our neighborhood and with those that we can. We'll love them. We'll witness to them. We'll do what we ought to do. Let's stand together in battle. Let's stand together as good soldiers. I thank God for those that have served. I thank God for these ones here tonight that served in the military. We're willing to give themselves. They believed in a duty. They were willing to serve their country. As Christians, will you do the same? What they've been willing to do is awesome. We need Christians willing to do the same for our Lord and for our Savior.